Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank everybody. We are back on the radio. We got some difficulties. We got it all set, and we want to thank God. And we're here for you, so we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. You know, God has been a good God for us, and I mean a good God. He's been a blessed God. See what he's done for us. He's made us to know that he's the one who's in charge. And the thing I want you to know is that our God is still a great God. And one of the things I will bring to you while my clients are coming on, and I will tell you something. I thank God for pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. I do. And I want to give God the praise. Enter into me with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that you have done for us, how you watched over us, how you loved us, and you kept us with all that you have. And for this, I say thank you. Today is another day, Lord, but we thank you. Will you give us the fullness of your understanding? Will you keep us close to you? Connect us with your understanding? May the Holy Spirit, since you poured out all of the Spirit upon the flesh, you brought it through Jesus Christ, and through him, we have a right to live. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything. And Father, the life that we now live is all about you. There is nothing about you. We thank you, Father, because of you being so great. That's the only thing we can say. We love you. We thank you. And we adore you. And then, Father, the life we live, we just say thank you. Because you're the one. You're the one who made it all possible. I want to thank you for Jesus, who paid a price for us. And because of the price that he helped us and showed us how much he loved us, when he walked among the disciples and he saw them. And your words are still paramount in my life. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for everything that you have done for me. It's in Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. And you know, one of the things that I would say to the beloved tonight is, when we talk about knowing God, we need to understand to know God is to love God. When you love him, it's respect for him and his ability to do anything. No matter how we look at it, God is still God. God is still God. And what we need to do is take it for what it's worth, because he loves us. And I say this with authority. God is love. He is love. He is love. Amen. Do you love him? Do you really love him with all you have? Have you said you give him all that he has? All that he has? Well, I would say to you, there is no God like our God. There's no God like our God. He's an awesome God, and he loves us so. Tonight, you know, I will tell you some words that I just believe that God will have us to know, that what we can do, what we can do, because we know that we know we can do what we need to do. We can do what God wants us to do. We can do it. See, because God so loves us, when he loved us, he gave all he had for us. And you know what I keep saying? It is up to us. It is up to us. I will say to everybody, tonight, woo, God is so good. His mercy endures forever. And see, that's a new chapter in our life each day that we have. I always say this, there is a new chapter in our lives. The new chapter is we love, respect, and obey God. That's a chapter that is fulfillment, a chapter that let us know that God is going to do for us. And you know, there are several things I want to talk to us tonight. number one, some things that God has done for us. And one thing I've come to know and realize is this. The first thing that we all need to understand, we have what we think we have in Christ. It's, you know, a lot of things we have in Christ. I've noticed in a lot of people who listen, the first thing we have is in Christ is salvation. And everybody always say, I know I'm saved. You don't have to shout it from the housetop, but you can let everybody know I'm saved. And you know, when you say I'm saved, saved for what? I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from the things that are going on around me. I'm thankful that God is real. God loves me. God, He gives me the pushing button. And you know what I love? I love God so much. All I can say is, sometimes it takes us who can get what we have to have before the true and living God. And you know, the God we serve, He's so much loving with us and through us and by us. If you take notice what God is saying, see, the first thing, He gave us salvation. Salvation. He has saved us from an ignominious hell. And I will say this to you. I don't want people just to say, well, I think I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. And I will say this here. Don't insult God. Lord, help me. A lot of people don't understand. But, you know, I would say, Lord, if I don't want to insult you because what you've done for me. You know, what has he done for you lately? See, everybody wants somebody to gear up, give up, and give it out. But God did just that. He did just that. God gave us a right to salvation through Jesus Christ. See, he promised us. See, before God raised, I confess with my mouth, he is my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Therefore, I say again, I am saved. I'm saved from what's going on around me. Sometimes people say I lost my mind. I'm not thinking myself. No, I have an attitude that God involved. And with God involved in what we're doing, it says to me that God is still on our side. And you know what Romans says is, whosoever believes on him is not ashamed. So I will say to some of the people, are you ashamed to know Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of him? If you ashamed of him, are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed of him? I'm asking you, are you ashamed of him? You know, the time is now. The time is now. And what God wants to do with us, see, when you say, I'm not ashamed because I believe on him, why do I believe? I believe because God sent us a Savior. He sent Jesus for us. Amen. Amen. And when you receive him, you accept his birth, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. And you come against the enemy that set it up against you. And I will say this to you. God made it all possible. And all the possibilities that God has done for us, he'll do it again. He's not a man, but he that he should lie that he won't do it, because a man lies. A man can lie, but God cannot lie. God cannot. He will not. So I will say this also. God promised us what he said, and he's speaking something that you made up. A lot of people just want to say that, well, I heard what the Lord said. You did? Oh, amen. Take notice of some things tonight, beloved. And when we take some things that God has done for us, it behooves us to take God at his word. Many times I keep saying the same thing over and over and over. When you're saved, you know you're saved. You go into the book of Romans, you said, and the Bible said, whosoever, I am a whosoever, whosoever believes in him, they are saved. We are saved. We are saved because God has made it so. And I will confess again, there's no love like God. You see, number two, I will say to somebody, you need to know that you've been born again. You've had an experience with God. In John chapter 3, Jesus, he spoke on the mount of religious men. And see, we got a lot of religious men today in politics, in the church, in the communities, everywhere. See, they are so devout. They have the attitude of a Pharisee and a scribe. See, they want to stand with you and argue about everything they think they know. But it's a wonderful thing. Religion is not going to get you to heaven. Religion is not going to get you there. Why? Here's why I can tell you. Religion is not going to go because it's going to take a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in this life or the life that is to come. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. And we know that we know that he is Lord of Lords. We don't mind telling somebody what he is for us. See, Nicodemus, you know, the great ruler of that clan, he said what he said, and then what God is saying to more now than ever, what God is saying. See, he says, and Nicodemus came, as they told us in the, when going to the college, they said, he was so intelligent that he had to come at night to talk to Jesus. And you know what? There are a lot of people want to spend the worst time they have spending with Jesus at the dark hour. I say you ought to talk to God every day. I need some prayer warriors. I want to be a prayer warrior to somebody that listens. And when you take up God's word, when you receive Jesus Christ, you are born again. But as many receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God, or the sons of God, those who believe his name. We are born again, not of blood, but of the will, not the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I'm born of God. The flesh has nothing to do with it. The will of man, it is the spirit of living God. And God so loved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, one of the things that I was saying, when we have been born again, we're not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, the word of God. Hallelujah. Which live and abide forever. Forever. And forever. And forever. And forever. Amen. Hello, Carla. How you doing?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right there, Dr. Hunter. How are you?
I'm blessed. I was just here on the line talking about being born again, a person being saved. And I want to thank you for coming on tonight to be on the line with us. And people are listening. And may I say this to you?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I thank God for you, brother.
All right, we thank the Lord for you as well.
Amen. But I think because of your consistency in what you're going through, and all I can say is, Father, he was a man that loves you. He was a man that trusts you. He was a man that spent time in prayer. The muttering I can tell by your lips, when I see your lips are muttering, you're still saying to God, your word have I kept in my mouth. Your word have I hidden in my heart. All I can say is, my brother, we're on the same ship. Praise the living God. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, then tell me what's going on in the world we live in. as God made it possible for you?
Oh, no doubt about it. Having scripture say, in him we live, move, and have our being. So without him, we can do nothing. That's another scripture, and I'm a living witness there, you know, to that. So,
yes,
to answer your question, yes, he has been a blessing in my life, and I thank him for it.
Amen. Praise the living God. Well, let me ask you this. I know you and I, we are, a lot of people want to believe, but they can only believe what they think they want to believe because of them they want to believe. But when we really believe, as I was saying to the scripture, when we are born of God, and the Bible tells us that we are not born of the will of man in John 1 and 12, it tells us how we were born. We're not, if we believe on him, whosoever is born is not of blood, of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but is of God. God has birthed us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. You're right.
Amen. Well, I want to hear what you have to say, my brother. I have something I want to hear what you have to say. I'm here. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, yes, right. Now, you were relating with the scripture about born of the will of God. Now, you are relating to spiritually or naturally?
Spiritually. Spiritually.
Okay, I'm glad you came out with that spiritually. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that is his will. The Bible says, it's not the will of God that any man shall perish, but shall all come to repentance. So that is definitely a mouthful. What you just said. That is the will of God to be born again. The Bible says, man, when he asked Nicodemus asked him, can a man be entered into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus told him, man shall be born again by the water. I mean, that we should be born again, and what he was trying to get over to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was thinking it was physically born again.
Yes.
And Jesus relating to the spiritual birth. So that is definitely God's will for us to be born again. That's one of the purposes that he came into his world, for us to be reunited back to God. We had lost that relationship with the Lord through Adam and Eve, but we gained that relationship back with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it is the will of God for man to be born again.
Amen. Well, let me ask this, dear brother. One of the things that we're troubled with the society we live in, a lot of people, when we tell somebody that they, according to the word of God, God says these signs will follow them that believe in my name, in the name of Jesus. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Anything that doeth them wrong, we can cast it out. We can raise the dead. Is it still true today in our life we now live in?
Let me see. Me, myself, I believe that it's still true. The Bible said my word is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And I believe that. Yes, I really do.
Likewise, because everybody, some people see me because I've had an incident, and they say, won't you ask God to heal you? I'm already healed. By the word of God, I'm healed. Peter tells me, it's about the strength that Jesus bore on his back. I am healed. I ain't got to act like it. I ain't got to look like it. I'm healed. It's just making things line up. The more it lines up, the more you can see what God is doing. The more God will bless you. The more God will bring you to a point to say, yes, Lord, the more you can see. And I do believe in the movement of the Holy Spirit like never before. Why? Because people that don't have the Holy Spirit, they cannot even do the real work. They can do the minor work, but when you do the real work that God has for you, you have the power and the authority along with the name of Jesus. And we can do great works. Great works. Amen.
Right, right. That's true. You know, Jesus even told the disciples that we'll do things more than what he did. And so, you know, quite naturally, as some just think it's just those disciples during those during the time of Jesus, those disciples with Jesus at the present time. But we are disciples of Jesus too. When we, as you was talking, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, be filled with the Holy Spirit, we can't do those things. We can't do that. I said again, we cannot do those things if we don't have the power of God in us. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, I believe, he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit have came upon you, after you have received the Holy Spirit." But you cannot have that power. You don't have the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit of Christ in us.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this, my brother. He's talking, and we got the whole world listening to us. Somebody's being blessed out there. Well, I believe so. When we get off the radio, I'll tell you how many listen. And you know, one of the things I say is, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why did he redeem us? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. So I stopped there. Shouldn't be incumbent upon all of those who say that they love God, love him. Should they come back and say, Father, your son you gave to us. Your son, Jesus, you gave to us. And we should thank him. See, because Jesus, the Bible says, every man that hang on a tree was cursed. Jesus became a cursed fellow. Now, my question to my audience is, listen, how do we as believers get people to accept the fact that Jesus took our sin, nailed to the tree? How do we get them to say and confess it openly and move forward with the word of God? Amen.
Yeah. Now I'm getting a good understanding of where I got to print what you're saying about the curse. Okay. Now, you was asking how, as we as people, followers of Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And what about the curse that you was asking?
I was saying, you know, and the Bible says that every man is hanging on a tree. Curse that man, but Jesus became a curse for us. That's what the Bible says. In
Galatians, right, correct.
3:13-14. Mm-hmm. And see, and when we take this scripture and we embed it in our spirit, man, we understand the more what God is saying to us and through us. See, he's promised of the spirit through faith. He's promised it to us. Through faith.
Right, right.
So that brings another conversation that we have out there. They talk about F-A-I-T-A, but they talk about F-A-T-E. There is a distinct difference between the two. F-A-T-E is seeing the world you do, like you do this and you do that, but the F-A-I-T-H is of God. The faith that we are talking about is of God. Now, when you and I talk, we talk about the love of God. We talk about it. And so, may I say this? I know a lot of people that you know that are out there listen to you. You tell us what God has moved on your heart. Tell us if it be possible. The floor is yours. Go for it, brother.
What God has made on my heart to tell the peoples?
Yes.
Okay. Well, overall, back to what you've been talking about, we must be born again. If we're looking to see Jesus, and being born again is to repent and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. many people, as you were saying, have believed there's a God, but really when we have faith and believe, there's a lifestyle that we'll start living, a way we'll start living. The Bible said if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are not hears. So we have to repent and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and therefore believe him, pray for him to fill us with his Spirit. And therefore we are what the Bible said in the book of Peter, we are that royal priesthood, that chosen generation. And in other words, we are adopted in the family of God through the Holy Spirit. So yes, we must, as Jesus said, we must be born again. And that being born again is, as I say, repenting of our sins, and repent means to admit, make a turnaround from the way that we was living. So yes, definitely we must have be saved in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And I will say again, the scripture say that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. So there's no other way. Jesus said there's no other way to God but except through him. So we can't go around him. We can't go through him. We can't go under. But we got to come to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of it. As you were saying, all curses was done away with when he was crucified on the cross, which is that tree he's talking about. Yes.
Amen. Well, let me ask you something. Some people that I was talking about, and somebody said, you know what? I wonder if the tree said they got jealous. You know, you talk about treeology. You know, the pine tree, you got the oak tree, you got the pecan tree, but nobody, I don't know if they have it in hell, but we were talking about a tree, and some old man said, well, you know what? The tree just said, I'm glad I was there to be him, for him to hang on me. I'm glad I was before this world. And I thought about that for a long, long time. What God has done for us, he did it 2,500 years ago. And it's even refreshed to this present day. And, well, let's have a talk. Do you think we need a revival in Houston?
Ooh, most definitely. No doubt about it. I said again, for sure we do.
Amen. What years would you like to see it? How soon and when?
I'll repeat that again.
I said, how soon? How soon would you like to see that revival start?
It should have started years ago.
Amen.
So
Amen.
How soon? I mean, it's past. The only thing I can say about that is it's past due.
I love what you just said. It is past due. It is. It's past due.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, if we got some people together to have one here in Houston, would you like to be a part of it?
If we do what now?
I said, what if we all got together here in Houston and start having a Holy Ghost movement?
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure.
Okay. Amen. I love what you're saying, my brother. You're warm in my heart. See, because what I'm looking for, I'm looking for people who don't mind giving all for Jesus. It ain't about money. It's about time and living, as you pointed out, living a holy life, a lifestyle. Nobody can say, well, he's sowing, smoking, or drinking. Somebody's saying we saw and do this. As long as we know that, our God kept us. And I believe in the state you and I live in, we will see a great revival in Houston. Amen. A great revival. A great revival.
I believe that I'm on all snow. Go ahead.
Sir? No, you go ahead.
I believe that also. I really believe it for the return of the Lord. How and when, I do not know, but I feel that in my spirit also. It's going to be a shaking before the return of the Lord because of his love. I know things are going to get worse before he returns. When I'm speaking of his return, it's the rapture. Now, rapture is not in the King James Version, but it's caught up in Thessalonians, and which is rapture and caught up. It's the same thing. I think rapture, caught up is in the Greek there, which is really related to rapture. So I believe that, we are looking at quite a bit of things that's going on that's pertinent to Christ's return. But as well, I believe the Lord, as you were saying, a revival, not only in Houston, in this country and worldwide, is for his return. Now, the Bible said no man know. Jesus told one of the disciples, asked Jesus, when would he return, on paraphrasing. And Jesus just plainly told him that he didn't even know, only the Father which is in heaven. But I believe some way, somehow, because of his love, you know, those of us especially saved, even the ones who's not saved, it's something that you're going to feel, and I believe we are feeling that now. You'll hear some people that's not saved and some that's saved that, you know, something's fixing to happen. You know, it's not tragic or nothing like that, but it just feel like it's time and just almost there for the return of the Lord because of the condition and the way things are in this world.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the things I would say to the man, you, Pastor Fulton, told me, and what I like to do is prayer time, for us to go into the Spirit of God and pray and ask God, Father, to let the Holy Spirit move on us that we can have a church, invite all the sinners, invite all, and be able to see as the disciples went out doing what God said. When Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said, you men and brethren, why stand you looking at us, at this man? He's sitting by the beautiful gate. He said, this man will not hear about us, but it was done through Jesus Christ, the one that you killed and gave him over for another man, a gambler. So if we get involved together, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, if we all come to the common unity, Lord, we want to see your word in the earth realm. We want to see your power. You know, I believe God will let when the Son talks to him, as I always tell people, the Son talks to God all the time, face to face. And he said, Father, they want to have a revival and you want to break out. I want to see it break out. You know, I don't know if a lot of people remember the men. I've been reading about God's general. God has some generals in days and past who believe God. Take one of the ones in Oklahoma. That man had a great ministry. What was his name?
Oral Robertson.
His son, Oral Robertson. Oral Robertson, when he would lay hands on some people, they would get healed. John Osteen was there.
Right,
there was the most I know. And I said, we can take it to the next level. We want to have our name written on the star post and heaven. We were there doing what God said for us today. Because we living in a time we're living in, and we have to do something. So I'm putting your name down here as one I will be giving you a call and letting you know what God wants us to do. And I believe we all can do it. And we just have to trust God like never before.
Right.
You got something else you want to tell the people?
Only thing I can say right now is that I know that God loves you. And that you read in the book of Peter, I think it's 1 Peter. If not 1 Peter, 2 Peter. In the second chapter around the ninth verse, and it's relating to where you are a paraphrasing again, you are a peculiar peoples. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And I want to tell the people that no matter what your race, nationality is, your financial status, what your financial situation is, how old you are, your health or whatever, you are special in the eyesight of the Lord. The Bible says that his eyes is over the righteous and his ears inclined to their prayers. So whatsoever that it is in your life, no matter what somebody else might say, you feel a little down and out, remember that the scriptures say, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares. He's concerned about you. So you are special in the eyesight of the Lord. Don't let no one or the enemy or yourself tell you that no matter what you have done, he's a grateful and a merciful and a forgiving God. So God loves you. And I never seen you in my life before. I even love you. So that's what I really mean that to the people tonight.
Amen. Likewise.
And not only tonight, I really just love you all the time. Because that's what God wants us to do, is to love. He said, love ye one another. That's one of the top commandments there. Love thy neighbors as you love thyself. So we love you here tonight. Jesus loves you above all.
Yes. You know, I know we want the wives, husbands, because the time has come, my brother, for us to get busy doing it. And a lot of people say, well, Hunter, you're not in a position. I'm in one of the best positions in my life. Because I can believe God more now can do than what I've seen in the past. Because God says, in this time we now live in, even though the Apostle Paul told us, he said, these are perilous times we live in. But we have to know that we know want to do what God has for us. Because we see everything that's in the script is being brought to our attention. And when the fivefold ministry, according to the book of Ephesians, God, he downloaded gifts to men. He gave apostles, pastors, teachers,
evangelists.
He gave the fivefold. But he said he gave it so we can all come into the unity. And I always say, just because he's a pastor, he's no better than a prophet. Just because he's a prophet, he's no better than a teacher. Because the same gifts come from one place. It comes from God, according to the book of Corinthians. And it's an incumbent upon us to say to this world we live in. We're living in a dangerous time. You and I, we say, we know that we're going to be transformed as that day. We know that. But if we're trying to reach the unreached and tell the untold what Jesus wants to do for us. And if you notice, my brother, all of a sudden, the times are changing. Funny. It's kind of feels not like it used to be. You know, and the more we see God's hand going up on the earth rim, we need to pray more for people, pray for them, tell them how we love them. But some people, you know and I know, don't want you to say nothing to them. Do we leave them or keep coming to them or what?
Are we one with those type people?
Yeah, do we come to them? Do we go out and go? The Bible said that Jesus said we must go out and preach and teach his word and the commandments.
He said, go out in the hedges and highways and compel men to come unto me. So the answer to that, yes, just because they are hard-hearted and rebellious and want to reject when we walk up there and try to witness to them or show them plan of salvation with them. Try not to force anybody to do anything. This is a choice. And God bless us with the free will. But, yes, we should go out and, Father, reach them because those are children of God, too. God loves everybody. And, again, I quote the scripture where it says, not the will of that. Now, I mentioned the scripture since we've been talking. It's not the will of God that anybody should perish, but shall come to repentance. So, therefore, we should go out and try to reach them because God loves them as well as the ones that saves. So, yes, we should. The Bible said, with loving and kindness have I drawn thee. So we have to show them loving and kindness as well because they are God's people too. He loves them too. But when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we become obedience children. So you can have some rebellious children and you can have some obedience ones. So this was in the family of God, the ones that are unsaved, they are disobedient ones. But the ones that have accepted Jesus as their Savior and reading the Word and praying and asking God to help them to live that life, well, we become the obedient ones. Right. So he loves us all. Amen.
He loves
disobedient and the obedient one. He loves us all.
Amen.
And well, he wants us to reach out to them all and show all everybody love.
Yes.
You know what he said about how to do our enemies, right? Fifth chapter of Matthew, and I believe it's in the 12th chapter of Romans. Still dealing with that question, you guys asked me how you want us to be, should we reach others that's not in the fold? Yes, there's a certain way he wants us to treat everybody. Hello? Okay,
hello.
Disconnected. Okay, I'm here.
No, okay. There was a lady calling me from who belonged to the she's the Philippines, and she was talking to me about what God. We was talking about revival, and she blows. Have you ever heard somebody blow that chauffeur?
Blow what now?
Have you? It's called a chauffeur. It's like a horn. It's like a goat's horn. You ever heard it blown?
In the natural, no, but I believe I have seen it on television or something like that.
Yeah. This lady blows that horn. I have never heard a lady. She blows it, the chauffeur. And she was just calling me, was talking about revival. And here she comes talking about revival. I said, oh. Well, I got the man on right now, and we just talking. But I want us to do this because I got a tape I want us to hear, and you can listen if you want to. It's called, let me see what the name of it is. It's Healing Scriptures, and they're done by Kenneth E. Hagin. So give us a prayer. Yes, you can listen to it. Give us a prayer before we go.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this evening thanking you and giving you the praise and giving you the glory. And Lord God, we thank you for what you laid on Dr. Hannah's to do in outreach ministry over there with me. So, Father God, we ask you in Jesus' name. The word says there's power in the name of Jesus. Let your word go out and won't return void. So we pray and ask in Jesus' name that your word will go forth. And Lord God, begin to minister to the people's heart. And don't let it return void. In Jesus' name. He's doing something that, Lord God, that you have asked for your disciples and your followers to do in the word. To go out in the edges and highways and compel men to come unto you. So Father God, by him obeying that command, Lord, we know that you're going to bless the listeners, Father God, in some way, form, or fashion. So we ask in you in Jesus' name, do it. The word says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Some we don't see coming into the fold, But by faith, Father, by many will be saved under this ministry. My God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank you. Continue to bless him. Continue to give him insight. Lord God, inspiration. Father God, in strength. Father, we asking you in the precious name of Jesus, as well as to his listeners as well. Lord God, bless his immediate family, his wife and all, oh God, support and keep this ministry going because we need it in the name of Jesus. Lord, these blessings and others we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, also I'd like to thank you, Holy Father, for all that you have done for us tonight. Couple us with your hand of mercy through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those that are not born, but we keep pressing and saying, come and see. Come and meet a man who has eternal life. His name is Jesus. And Father, we just believe tonight that my brother and I, we stand in agreement with your word.
Yes.
Your word is true. And you said when two touch and agree on anything on the earth, it's heard in heaven. Because we just say thank you. In the beginning,
you.
Father, you have done the earth. And because of your magnificent hand, you have done what you've done. And then, Father, I want to thank you, Mobile, for what you're doing in our bodies individually and collectively. And you're building us back up to a point where we can say, not a doctor, not a man, but it was the Holy Father through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because he's given the power. He's given us the authority. And, Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Holy Father. And, Father, any sins that we have committed, knowingly, unknowingly, and ones that we haven't repented of, we ask you tonight in Jesus' name that your blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, because the blood he hung on his, that was on his back, that dropped off on the ground, Father, the blood of Jesus still available. And we want to thank you because you're giving us a better insight, a better understanding of what we must do, how we must do it. And, Father, there are men that we pray that will come to know you. There are women we pray will come to you and know you. There are some behind the prison bar in a different county, Father. There are some men walking around that don't have the fullness of their mind. We pray for them, Father. Father, we don't go and challenge the enemy, but we know we're ready for a fight. Because we said fight the good fight of faith is what we fight.
Right.
We believe that we believe your word is power. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank you for all that you've done. And we just continue to say our bodies are completely healed, 100%. They don't act like it, don't look like it, but we know what your word says. Jesus said to the woman, because of thy faith, your faith has made you whole. And our faith will make us whole. Will you bless our wives and keep them? Will you bless all of our siblings? Will you bless them? Will you bless Riverwood, Father, the Northeast? Would you bless us? And, Father, we just ask for you in the name of Jesus Christ. We desire that the revival starts in our heart. There will be many more, Father. Give us the fullness of it, Father. Not because of this or that, but because the anointing that you're going to give to us. For your word says the anointing breaks every yoke. It breaks every yoke, every sin, every disease, every curse is broken. The anointing. And I know, Father, it's the anointing. And, Father, we know that we are anointed. We believe it. We declare it. Because you've done so much for us. And then, Father, oh, these seven continents that we live in, we pray for those, for the 2.7 billion people. Somebody don't know the name of Jesus. And I thank you for allowing us to take this radio line around the world and speak to somebody. I pray that the word will be manifested to them to know that God has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. And the more that they come to know him, the better life will be. Let somebody who's on the dark side come out because your word says, we who know that we know because we've overcome the deceiver, the one, the devil. He is the one. And we thank you, Father. Thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for the radio station. And then, Father, because you're still God, hallelujah, we love you. And then, Father, somebody in the hospital needs a touch right now. Will you touch some of those that you got in the fivefold? Will stir them up by the Spirit to go in and lay hands on them? For your word said, we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And we just believe it, Father, because I'm a recoverer. Amen. And I thank you. I love you. I adore you. I magnify your name in my body. And I thank you, Father. I just ask you from hospital to hospital, even on the road that we travel, Father, that you will keep your watchful hands, angels on assignment. Your word says your angels, according to the 91 Psalm, your angels encamp about us, and we want to thank you. Thank you, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for all that you have done. We lift our hands, and we shout hallelujah. We praise you. We love you. And you have anointed our feet, Father, that we walk, we won't slip. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
And then, Father, you said in your word, you say you know the thoughts that you have for us. And the thoughts you have for us, they're not evil, but they're good to bring us to real success in our lives. And then, Father, we just said thank you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my brother, we'll turn that on. If you want to listen to it, you can, okay? I'm going to turn it on.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41, 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42, 11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7, 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 25. Still he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity.
Sir?
The chastisement of our flesh was upon him.
And can you hear? Yeah, I hear. Okay.
It might be fulfilled, but spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saving himself for our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And you are complete in him, is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong you in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:20. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of horn. Psalm 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thy trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 9:1. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah 40:2. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 65:22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy. Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life. Wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew 4:23-24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel to the people, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth and touched him, saying, I will, you are clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:5-10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was in the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he went and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go call it, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew 8:14-17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed, those two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, cast out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 39 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But if, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came of the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered their men to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He said unto her, For go thou the devil out of her daughter. And when she had come to her, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, in the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they went to him that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looked at his side and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose. And he spake plainly, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought the which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and through his teeth pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and walked forth. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since came unto him, and he said, Of a child, and cast him into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Straightway the father cried out and said, With dearest Lord, I believe, that thou art believe. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. And when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Here in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. He cometh to Nazareth, where he
dwelt.
His custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up far to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. We got somebody on the line with us. I just turned on for a moment. Hello out there, somebody. Are you on the line with us? Well, I guess they still are. But at any rate, though, were you getting blessed by that, brother?
Oh, yes. I listened pretty good to some of those scriptures there.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
See what God. Amen. Hello, how you doing?
Somebody say amen.
She's on the line with the lady come on the phone with us from Georgia property. Hello, my sister.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. God bless.
Amen. This is a man.
How y'all doing
this afternoon? We're doing good. How about you?
Sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Enjoying the holy word.
Amen. Well, my brother and I were discussing some things about the Bible of God, and we were talking about we're looking for God to move us into another revival here in Houston. And he has agreed with me. Some more have agreed, so we're going to pray and ask God to download us with the necessary tools and the Holy Ghost to do what needs to be done.
Amen. Well, the man just read it in the Word. Only some of these things come by fasting and praying.
Yeah,
sir?
Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead, my brother. I'm still there. My brother, you still here?
Yes, I've listened to you and the lady.
Well, go ahead and talk to her. Go ahead.
No, she was talking, and I think it was kind of interrupted there. So, is she still there?
Amen. Yes, I am still here. God bless. How you doing?
I'm doing okay in the Lord. How about yourself?
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about revival.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I said the man on the tape, he was just telling us, he was giving us, equipping us how we can be effective.
Right.
You know, we don't want to have a revival and it's not effective. We want to have a revival and it bring forth change. It bring forth healing. It bring forth deliverance. And that's what he just read. He read everywhere that Jesus went. They got healed and they got delivered and set free. And that same power should resonate in you and I. And it should be happening right now throughout the land. So I bless the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, and as you said, you were saying that these kinds come out by fasting and praying.
Amen.
So we have Amen. To fast and pray because, as you were saying, that some of these are strongholds in people's lives and in our own life. So it takes some fasting and praying to get rid of some of these demonic spirits. Amen. So that is so true there. And with the
Amen.
Word of God is true. We have to just stand on the promise of God, which the Word of God is true.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got to be sure enough fortified, you know, because I tell you, these demons and devils, they real. And just
no doubt
like,
about
just
it.
Like in the, amen. Just like in the book of Acts, when those spirits came and it said, said to Paul, said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you?
Right.
So even using the authority and the power of Jesus Christ's name, we got to know that we are fortified because those demons and devils can whoop our butt.
Amen. Yes, then, you know, the scripture also say, paraphrasing the scripture, that to where a divided house won't stand. In other words, what you are relating to, if the point that I'm getting to, if you're trying to cast out demons and your life is not, or you're not fortified and you're not trying to live, talking one thing and doing another, you're not going to get anything done.
Come on.
Yeah, so
Amen.
We have to live a certain life in order to power God to move. We got to implement the
Amen.
Things of the ways of God in our life in order to be, as you were saying, to be effective. We just can't live no any kind of way, not fasting and praying and studying our word to be effective in the dying world of life. In other words, you know, the people that lost life. Because the Bible says you know tree and by the you know the tree by the fruit it bears. You know, some people don't even, our life is a living epistle. I have had people that was able to, yes, I'm going to say a mistake that a Christian make, and they quick to print it out. And they are not, you know, I'm not sitting here criticizing, belittling anybody, but they are not saved. But something about them that they are knowing when you are not living the way that you should. So as you say, we have to be fortified in order to go out and be effective in that world.
Amen. You know, you talked about the house divided. That's what exactly what the Word of God says. The devil can't cast out the devil.
Right. That's what
in other words.
Right. Yes, ma'am. That's
Amen.
So true.
Amen. You know, and you know something I wrote down earlier tonight, and I didn't even know I was going to come on the line tonight, but I bless the Lord for when I did come on and just to hear the Word of God going forth, you know, whether it's taped or somebody's delivering the Word alone is enough to bring forth whatever we need, correction, healing, deliverance, want to be saved, want to be free, whatever we need, it's in the Word of God. But what I wrote down in my tablet tonight, the watchmen of the soul, And we as ministers, men and women of God, if we don't take God's business seriously, you know, it tells us in the book of Ezekiel that their blood would be upon our hands.
Right, amen.
But what I wanted to say is, why would you play with somebody's soul? Why would you jeopardize somebody's soul if you know that you're not living, if you know that you're not living the life that God has called you to live?
Right.
Why jeopardize or risk some, why risk your own soul?
Right. That is so true. That soul is very valuable. Yours as well as others. So as you say, we should take this thing in consideration. I don't like calling the ways of God thing, but you know, you all realize what I'm saying. The ways of God, we should take that with sincerity and value our souls. Our soul is very important. Have the Lord ever just took you into depth sometime when you're alone and just begin to think about, you know, the Bible say we live this by faith. And I believe by living by faith, you get to meditate on it and thinking about it. God will give you some revelation of the things to come, or the heavenly things sometimes. And one of them was how he dealt with me about your soul. And I just cannot put it in words, but all I felt to when you was talking, and I'm not just flattering with you, it is a fact. Your soul is valuable. Over in the book of Ezekiel, how God is talk about, you know, the shepherd that's supposed to be over the sheep, and how he'll hold them responsible for not being that shepherd that they should, cause them
Amen.
To scatter and cause them to go astray. They have a very high punishment just to show you how concerned God is about that soul. So we should be likewise the way God is about our soul.
Amen. He said, this is how it's supposed to be. He says, love the things I love and hate the things I hate.
Mm-hmm.
God hates sin. You don't judge nobody in the sin they in, but you pray about it. God gave us, he gave us power over territories, over regions, over nations, over cities, and over lands. And a lot of people are not using the power and authority that God has given. The power and authority that God's given us in the book of Genesis, it's one of the first commandments that he commands. He commands you to go subdue the land. That means to overtake. That means to walk in authority.
Mm-hmm.
You can't subdue nothing. You can't subdue nothing being passive.
Right. It's true.
And it's time to take back the kingdom of God. You know, I don't want to say that I'm angry, because I'm not angry. But what I want to say to the body of Christ, I want to say to the apostles, I want to say to the prophets, I want to say to the teachers, I want to say to the evangelists, and I want to say to the pastors. I want to address the ones that God has given them the authority to do what? He says, I gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working
right.
of the ministry, for the edifying of the body.
Right.
And the body is sick. The body is sick because the head is sick. And I'm not saying everywhere, but if you look around, you can see wherever you at, There's some sick folks up in church. And some sick folks up in church here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us a power. He says in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which was called by my name, would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, repent, seek my face, then I shall heal the land.
Mm-hmm.
But we're too busy trying to build my ministry, your ministry, and not building God's kingdom.
Come on here. Yeah.
And the people are suffering. The people are sick. There's no reason why, with all the power and authority, I gave you regions. I gave you regions. Therefore, any matters of sickness and disease, you got the power to cast it out. Because God did what? He ordained. He ordained them. He gave them power, and then he sent them out. And that's the same power that we should be operating in right today. Where is the signs and wonders? And I'm not talking about little signs and wonders, because some people, yeah, we see people get healed. We see people get delivered. We see people get set free. I'm talking about the multitude. We serve a God, a great God. We serve a God that holds all power in his hand. But the word of God tells us in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, that we err. We err not knowing the scriptures, and we err not knowing the power of God. When he sent Moses out, he said, tell who? Moses said, who should I tell sent me? The great I am.
Right.
And that's the same authority we should be walking in. Who sent you? The great I am.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what
Amen.
Jesus even said? Jesus even
yes.
said that himself. My Father sent me. It's not I. These are not my words that I speak. It's the one who sent me.
Right, yes.
But we're not in tune. We're not even in tune because we're too busy trying to self-satisfy our own self and not denying ourselves, not dying to our flesh. And allowing the Spirit of God to rule and regulate us.
Got to let him be in control.
He got to be in control. He's
yes.
the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords.
Because the Word says you don't please God. I'm talking about that head, that pastor, that shepherd. Is you out trying to please yourself or man? You are not doing the will of God.
Well, Romans 8.
Yes,
the chapter, Romans chapter 8 and verse, Jesus, bring it back to my memory. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're walking around here in your flesh, it ain't my word, it's God's word. If you're walking around here in your flesh, you can't please God. Because he says, go down some in that same book, he says, those who are led by the Spirit are what? Are now sons of God. And then it tells us over in the book of Galatians, we don't no longer walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to deny ourselves. We don't want to renew our minds. We don't want to have a Christ-like mind. We want to continue to go on our wisdom, our knowledge, and our understanding. And that's not going to work in God's kingdom. And that's why so many people are getting beat up by the devil. I said it in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 16, isn't that, Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Is it not Acts chapter 16 when it says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but who are you? I'm enjoying
what chapter was that? Because I know. What chapter was that? 16?
That was in the book of Acts. That was in the book of Acts.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out what chapter.
Oh,
I'm trying. Acts 16 or 17. I'm asking you for your help here.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to the book. I'm going to the book. I'm going to the book.
That's it. I can't remember exactly what book it came out of Acts.
It came out of the book. Amen.
I know it came out of the book of Acts. I'm talking about the chapter.
Yeah, I think he says going to. He's looking for it now. It's not me, the chapter.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, he's in agreement with you that it's in Acts, but he's going to find it for you what chapter it's in.
Amen. I got it. Acts 19. Hallelujah. And the evil spirit answered and said to Jesus, I know Paul. I mean, I know you. I know Paul. But who are you? And the man who, that's right, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on did and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they flew out of the house naked and wounded. Spirits will whoop your butt. It will rain you out of the house naked. If you're not fortified, you don't know what you're doing, please, I behold you. Don't tamper in something you know nothing about. I'm not going to go. Well, actually, I'm not going to say that one because I can break down and put a computer together because I did work for IBM. But let me use something else. I'm not going to go in surgery and cut up with somebody straight down their chest and say I'm going to do heart surgery on somebody and I'm not fortified.
Right.
And that's the same thing God is telling us his word. Do not try to cast out demons and devils and you're not fortified. You're not equipped. You can seriously hurt yourself and you can seriously hurt others.
Yeah, right.
But it's time to be fortified in the things of God.
My God.
I tell you one thing, God gave me a word last night. He says, call to duty. Are you standing at attention? Are you ready? Do you have your whole armor on? Do you have your whole armor on? Are you in position when that sergeant come and knock on that box door and say, attention, let's move out?
That was part of my message Sunday. Putting on the whole armor, God.
Hallelujah.
Put on the whole arm.
That's right.
Put on the whole arm.
The whole arm of God. Lord bless you.
That's right.
Break it down. And
in
as
that
you
whole
say,
arm.
Sisters, you just can't go out here half done. I mean, you just got to be fully equipped.
That's right.
We're about to not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
This is a serious warfare that we're in. Yeah, I mean,
come on, and that's the whole message that everybody should get. This ain't play time.
No.
The devil, I have to use the same analogy that I used last night. And a lot of people, they're familiar with bugs, so ain't nobody saying no. You know, seeing a cockroach in your house, and you go to the store, and you get the can of spray. And then that can of spray don't work, because you done seen more bugs. So you got to go get a stronger dose of something until you kill those bugs. And that's the same thing. Them demons and devils,
yeah.
They ain't how they used to be. They ain't how they used to be way back when we were growing up, or when you were growing up. You might be older than me, so you know. But my point is, we need more Jesus. We can't say I'm gonna take just the Old Testament and that's what I'm gonna live out of, And I'm not going to take the New Testament and I'm not going to apply that to my life. You can't do that. And you can't say, I'm going to take the New Testament and I'm not going to use the Old Testament because we don't have to kill no more animals and do all those sacrifices. No, we don't. We don't have to do the sacrifice, but he says. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. So
that's
Jesus
right.
fulfills the law. So therefore we don't have to worry about killing anything no more, but this word is still effective. It's still effective.
Amen.
And do you go to the grocery store and you buy, say, excuse me, can I speak to your manager? And can I buy a half a loaf of bread? They're going to look at you like you're crazy. No,
yeah.
We got to eat this whole thing. We got to eat this whole thing. We can't say, oh, I'm going to eat just half a loaf. No, what is my word? My word is the bread of life. And you're going to tell me you don't want to choose life because you don't want to eat the whole loaf?
Got to eat it all.
It's time to be fortified. It's time to truly be fortified, and it's time to see some things happen. Greater works. Greater works. I'm going to be with my Father. Y'all think I'm coming back down here and perform and do everything I done one time before y'all, and I showed y'all I walked this walk out perfectly? I didn't error. Out of all the beatings and all the persecution that I went through, all the sweat and all the blood that I gave up, you think that I'm going to come back here and do this again? I showed you through the flesh it can be done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We've been resurrected in power. Jesus didn't go down for us to come up and stay weak. No. He went down that we may come up strong with him.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's time to be equipped. Time to be equipped. I'm telling you. We got to go back to teaching like never before. So many people get preached at. So many people get fussed at. Everybody love to rebuke, don't they?
No.
They love to rebuke somebody. But the first thing the word tells us, it says, teach, be ready in season and out of season, reproving. It tells you to reprove the people first, teach them over.
Right.
Teach them over. If you think about it, when your grandmother and your grandfather, and when they went to church, what did grandma and granddaddy used to come home and say? The preacher said this, and the preacher said that.
Oh.
It was no intimacy. It was no personal relationship with God. Because they were going on the old ways. They never taught them the new ways that you don't have to have Moses to go up and to the mountain and fight for you no more. Jesus ripped the veil. They gave us all a right. Jesus said that we can be one with him. They didn't learn that. But we know this. And that's how
right.
we have to equip the next generation and the next generation.
Right, right.
You can be one with Christ. You can be one with him.
Yeah. That's what
Amen.
He wants. That oneness. That oneness is what he wants. Amen.
Yeah. And he wants that oneness with us.
Uh-huh.
Fitly joined together. One body. One head fitly joined together. But we too busy being jealous, envy, malice, conny, crafty against one another and ready with those fiery dots to stab in each other's back because your ministry quote unquote, is greater than my ministry, quote unquote, and so forth and so forth. And the wisdom that God has downloaded and gave you. Didn't he say we prophesied and paused? Didn't he say I will establish my words through two or three witnesses? So if you got something to say, guess what? We all on the same team. And I'm going to be more than welcome to hear what you got to say and what God download you. And vice versa. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
This ain't no one man show.
Mm-mm. It's all about God.
The one man that showed up. And he brought everything to captivity, and he nailed it to the cross or to the tree, whichever one you want to use. That's the one man that we all should be talking about. That's the one man that we all should be glorifying. That's the one man that we all should be lifting up.
Come on here.
Giving praises that's due unto his name.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Watch him work those wonderful miracles, those healings, whatever it is that the people need. Healing is the children's bread. I'm telling you, when you see sin, I live in Atlanta, and most people know what Atlanta is full of. They call Atlanta what? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what a lot of people call Atlanta. But if we all came together in this region and began to pull things, they don't want a war. They don't want a war in the spirit, but the devil is the don't care. He's coming to get your baby. He's coming to get your wife. He's coming to get your husband. He don't care. But we got to get the same kind of the devil got. He is the greater one. We're the greater one because the greater ones live in us. When are people gonna get mad enough to say, devil, you no longer will triumph in my house. You will not triumph on my job. You will not triumph in my school. You will not triumph wherever my feet go. Because he says, be of good courage. And don't be dismayed, because I am with you. Who wants you? That's what we got to do. It's time for a self-examination, falling down on our face and crying out to the Lord. Lord, I need to be fortified in the things that you have called me to do because I am equipped. You're going to get on the battlefield. How are you going to get on the battlefield and you're afraid to lead the line? Or you want to send your congregation on the front line while you go to the back and tell them to fight for you.
And you're the leader.
Come on. And didn't you see in the Word of God, where were those kings at? They were on the front line. Those kings didn't run to the back. Matter of fact, those kings fought before their soldiers fought.
That's what a lot of leaders feel, that they have to really understand what a leader is. Sometimes that leader, some people think a leader is always paraphrasing, just putting their fingers, saying, do this and do that. And they get all the easy work and all, but sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and pitch in and set some examples as a leader.
The leader is the first one to be the example, just like Jesus Christ said himself.
Right.
I came to serve, and that's what he did.
That's what it all boiled down, a servant, a leader. You know, we think we should be served, but we are the servants as leaders.
Jesus, have mercy.
As you're talking there, sister. Oh, yeah. That's why we're not fortified like we should, because we got it all wrong.
That's it. Because we made it about ourselves. We took the focus off of Christ Jesus, and we made it about ourselves. You know, I only want to do this little part right here because that's all I'm equipped to do. Greater is he that's in you. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. He told them disciples to go out to all nations. All nations.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if anybody got a church home, they better start calling it international and just start and take that local title off of it. Because you want to win all souls. And you ask God to break every barrier that's going to hinder from you getting to these other nations. If it's language barrier, if it's culture barrier, whatever it is, the God knows he can equip us in anything. But we don't ask the things to be effective. Didn't Joshua ask God, why did I lose this war? Why did we lose this battle?
Right.
Joshua ripped his clothes off. That's how serious he was about it. Laying before God. Mm-hmm. I pray to thee, God. I pray to thee, Lord. What happened? And he said sin was in the camp.
That's it.
And God said, call all 12 tribes and find out who sinned. Oh. And when you find out who sinned, kill them all, even the children.
My God.
And he did. See, people thinking, see, he had to use people in an example, but he's talking about those spirits.
Right.
Wasn't Hammond in his mother's womb? The prophet Simon, Samuel told, who was his name? Jesus was that man's name. Why did you let her escape? Man, you fool. She was pregnant with child. And Hammond came out. And he came out and he raised his 10 sons the same way. You better kill them Jews. Didn't he come up against Esther? He came up against Esther. But trust me, he had already trained his kids before he met his maker. The enemy is real.
Yes.
And they are in training. And I'm going to talk about some of these foreign countries. Because what do? They train those babies while they're in the mother's womb. Teaching them how to be terrorists, teaching them how to be suicide bombers, teaching them how to be ready to fight for war, even while they're in the womb. And we won't take time to train our children, but we'll talk about our children. It's a bad boy over there, and that's a bad little girl over there. And they want to go join this gang, and the mamas and daddies ain't did nothing to try to help them. It all falls on all of us.
We are all
held accountable. But we took
you in the
bed. That don't apply to me. It ain't happening over here. If it's happening over there, it's happening over here. Ain't nothing new under the sun. It might be a different way of happening, but it's going down.
It's going on.
It's going. That's right.
You know,
it's going on.
It's God what you're talking about, and not because of what I'm fixing to say, because the Lord is dealing with me. And relating to how you was talking about the kids being trained in their mother's womb over there.
Yes.
And we're so concerned about our children, young generation, how we have lost our generation to the enemy. But one day, since the Lord laid on my heart, you know, get to the root of it. While our generation, number one is a lot of this computers and music that they're listening to. But we, our generation, I don't know how old you are, you don't have to say it, but our generation, we still are going astray from the Lord. So that's why we are seeing what we're seeing in the young people's lives now, because we start drifting away back in, so to speak, our, I'm going to say during the 70s or so, the late 60s, when we used to be some morals and principles and fear of the Lord in the in our fathers and parents and parents' life. But our generation came along and we started getting caught up in drugs and that hippie movement, I'll put it like that. Drugs and alcohol. Therefore, we began to get away from the morals and principles and the ways of God. And we are seeing what we have produced the generation now. So as you were saying, we have to get back as a whole of praying, setting an example, and being an example in order to draw the young back. I'm not going to say all, but by faith we're going to get as many as we can, because it's enough to be turned out. So as you say, and I'm a total agreement, we have to get equipped and put on a whole arm of God, a whole arm of God, in order to be able to stand.
Amen.
As an individual, and to reach the ones that's out there that's being so lost. Naturally.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, that's okay. I'm about done. I'm just going to say naturally, in this life and as well, and above all, where we're going to spend eternity. That's the main thing. The Bible says, what shall a man profit? If he loses hope, Lord have mercy, give me that scripture. If he gained the whole world and loses his soul.
Amen.
You know, I heard Billy Graham, and I admire him a whole lot. I listened to him on the radio one day before he got, you know, to where he's not able to get out and evangelize like he used to. And he compared, he brought that scripture out, and he brought out, I want to say the whole world, but I'm just going to narrow it down to the United States. And he began to compare the athlete players, all the money that they have, and the money that Michael Jackson has, Donald Trump, in other words, all the millionaires here in this country. And sit there and say they couldn't touch nothing with Solomon's head. And I began to look at that and begin to think about that scripture we just quoted. What shall it profit a man if he gained his whole world and lose his own soul? That is saying something. You hear me?
Amen.
Know that self. If you had it all, and what it all boiled down, there's nothing in this life more valuable than your soul.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, you know what? We got about 60 seconds left on here. I want to thank God for y'all listening tonight, and we will continue to say we love the Lord. We thank the God for everything he's done. And anybody got anything you want to say before we close out?
Well, we thank God for breaking the bread together tonight. Amen. Thank God for the sister that came on. I enjoyed her. And plus the minister that you had on giving all those scriptures.
Amen. Uh-huh. Amen, and praise the living God.
Amen. I just want to say quick, because I know we're time. I just want to say, no matter what nobody nationality is, nobody culture, nobody race, be a witness. Be a witness.
Yes.
Tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus.
Amen. I love you. I love you.
All right. We love you all too. God bless. Let us pray when ye one for another.
Amen. God bless each one of y'all.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.